you spent some time celebrating what you did that day, right? And whether that be actually officially journaling something, or just mentally going through the exercise of each day, I'm looking back to say, what was a win? You know, every morning in our team meeting here at our office, we start the day with a win from yesterday. We haven't started this yet. Maybe we should end each day with what was a win from the day.
Right.
Because I think it's so important that people realize, whether it be big or small, I got something accomplished today.
That was Ben Tejas talking about one of the ways you should end each day in retirement. Hey everybody, Jared Sebesta here, co-host of Retire Repurposed. On behalf of Ben Tejas and myself, we are so thankful that you are joining us here today. Well, research shows a retiree's life pre- and post-retirement looks about the same. So how should retirees be utilizing the extra block of time given back to their life? How should you specifically be using your time each and every day? Well, on today's show, we continue our series talking specifically about just that, time. Like the first hour of our day, the final hour is a critical period of time that, if managed correctly with intention, helps us grow and create significance. In this podcast, Ben Tejas will give you a three-step process to follow each night to end your day well and propel you into a purposeful day to follow. Enjoy this episode. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the show. So glad you're joining us here on Retire Repurpose. I've said this the last couple of shows to start. If you are new to the show, this show is all about retirement. Retirement's in the title, but this is unlike nearly every single show that you're going to come across. If you search retirement podcasts online, there will be literally hundreds, if not thousands, of options for you to listen to. But this show is all about your life. It's tying your life back to your retirement. We believe that retirement isn't the end, but rather the beginning of what could be the most impactful season of your life. So if that's what you're looking for, that's going to be the flavor of the content, and it has been for years and years and will continue even on today's show. We've been talking extensively about time. At the foundation of our financial business, we talk about time, talent, and treasure. So you have now joined us here as we are now kicking off a series where we are specifically just talking about time. Ben Tejas joins me on the show now. And Ben, you know, let's give, again, a little bit of a recap. You are getting in the habit of, you know, as you meet with retirees and pre-retirees, for that matter, asking them a very specific question about these three T's, so to speak. But what have you seen as you've kind of instigated this conversation with these people?
Yeah, Jared, you would think, you know, asking people what's the most important to them, if it's their time, their talent, or their treasure, coming from, the context of a financial firm, which we are, that people would say, well, it's money. It's, you know, how am I going to pass my money on to the next generation? How am I going to manage it wisely, et cetera? And those conversations are part of our conversation. But when I have them prioritize what's most important to them, it is always their time. Right, you can have all the money in the world. If you don't have time, it does you no good.
Sure.
And closely after is talent. So they'll say, well, yeah, time's great, but if I'm not healthy, if I haven't taken care of my body, if I haven't been, taking care of my mind, then those days aren't as much fun either. So it's almost always in that order. It's time, talent, and then finally treasure.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up because I heard another gentleman say recently, you know, you can have all the money in the world, but that can't give you yesterday. That can't give you last weekend. That can't give you, you know, the vacation you didn't take or should have taken, or the conversation that you should have had with a loved one. This is some powerful stuff here, you know, again. So this whole idea of retirement, even though the conversation is so much financial related, there's so much dynamic underneath the surface.
Yeah, and here's the crazy part. The people that are in that mindset, they're like, well, time's most important, and my talent. Guess what? They end up with the treasure too. I mean, right. And that's what I've seen, is like the people that have that thought of like, I'm making the most of every day. I'm making the most of my morning routine, my evening routine, as we're talking about today. Those are the people that tend to have the treasure. Why? Mm-hmm. Well, because they're being specific. They're making goals. They're making sure each day counts, which then translates into winning.
Yeah. I think you said the magic word there. You're being, you know, and really I think that's at the core of what we're talking about even today, which we're going to get into kind of, you know, the evening routine and what, you know, that should look like, those final, you know, couple of hours of your day of a retiree. This is a conversation of really about who you want to become. You know, again, I don't want to say that the finances are the easy part, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're talking about numbers here. We're talking about compound interest. We're talking about, you know, retirement plans that are, you know, complex in many people's situation, but fairly simple in others. And I, you know, it's almost like that's kind of the easy part. And again, I don't want to take away from the, you know, from the expertise of the financial plans and what we do, but really the mind and the person, that is almost the more complex variable in this equation. Would you agree?
Yeah, that's the hardest part. And especially anytime we're dealing with people that, that have had a lot of financial success, this part and making sure the time and talent piece is dialed in for their retirement or their repurpose, their next stage of life, is the more difficult part of our work.
Sure.
And when we ask the question, and they do come to that realization, well, really what I need to be working on is how I'm managing my time, how I'm managing my talents, right? Mm-hmm. I know that they've come to that realization that, yeah, we've got to do some work there.
Yeah. Two shows ago, we talked about how much time do you really have left. There was a study done by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which we found fascinating. Basically, that study said that retirees' lives post and pre-retirement look about the same, with the exception that they got a block of about 8 hours of time back. And they spent most of that watching television, only a fraction of that actually socializing with other people, a tiny bit of that traveling, and literally no time spent growing. Ben, you know, again, we don't want to beat a dead horse here, but how sobering were some of those statistics for you?
Well, the last one's really tough to hear, right? If you're not growing, you're dying. That's something that John Maxwell always says, and I agree. You know, when you get to that point of retirement, And we see the statistics that almost no time is spent actually learning,
building
and creating,
right,
what God created you to do. Right, that's what really throws up a red flag for me. And I know from working with many retirees over the years that the act of retirement, actually stopping the creation, stopping the adding value piece, has more to do with aging, right, than actually how old you're getting.
Yeah.
It's all about staying in the game.
Yeah.
And too many times people forget that.
Yeah, and again, that has nothing to do with the finances. You could have the financial nest egg, but if you think that you're old and you're acting old and you've convinced yourself that you're old and you slow down, that's what changes the game more so and has almost more control over your life than you could argue the financial side. That was two episodes ago. Please go back, listen to that show. If you missed that show, that was fascinating. We dive into those statistics and that particular study. Ben, last week we broke down how should you be spending your time? And we talked just about, I don't want to call it the morning routine because that's kind of a boring way to look at it, but we really did talk about the importance of, you know, starting your day with intentionality. Maybe what's something that stuck out from you from last week?
Well, I'll just add a new one. We talked about it a little bit, but just getting something done right away in the morning. I mean, it's trained in the military, right, to make your bed in the morning. And for me, it was trained at home. Eventually, my wife is like, you know, if I'm out of bed before you, have to make the bed. And what I've noticed is that's getting something accomplished right away.
Sure.
I was at my family cabin here this weekend, and I took three of my nephews with. And these guys are, you know, 12 to 14 years of age and kind of like not exactly big on making their beds. And we had this sermon time from Uncle Ben where I was like, guys, you have to get something accomplished right away in the morning. Start your day right. And they're like, I'll make my bed. I'm like, yes, every single day.
Sure.
Get a win, get something accomplished, because it sets you up for success the rest of the day.
Yeah, yeah. Getting a win right off the bat is great. And so if you don't have a morning routine, start. And that's really how how do you make significant changes in your life? You know, it's not about running the marathon tomorrow. It's not about like reading 7 books today. It's just about doing the little things right. For me personally, and again, I'm not going to repeat these stories, but just even little changes, changing how, you know, the first 15 minutes of your day goes. You do that over the course of a day, nothing happens. But you do that over the course of weeks and months and years, you are really starting to develop and become this person that is indeed growing. Again, if you missed last week's show, we talked about starting the day with gratitude, starting a gratitude journal, and really being mindful of some of the thoughts that are going through your head, especially in the morning, because this sets the tone for the day. If you can win that first hour, or even 15 minutes of the day, you've really made some serious progress.
Yeah, and it's what you're putting in your head too in that morning routine. I mean, whether or not you're getting into the Bible or you're doing devotions, right, mm-hmm. Or just listening to a podcast from somebody who is uplifting and encouraging.
Sure.
You know, my day doesn't start like right in the morning. I don't crack my Bible, but every morning on my way to work, mm-hmm. that 20-minute, 30-minute drive is always a specific podcast that is coming from a place of positive reinforcement. Mm-hmm. It's a pastor that I follow, and he's pouring into me daily,
sure.
right? And again, that's getting me started for the rest of the day. So if you skip all that mm-hmm. and you just move right into your day and you don't start with some positivity, I think you're setting yourself up mm-hmm. for long-term failure.
I think you're absolutely right. Again, if you need some direction on that morning routine, go back and listen to last week's show. So today we're going to talk about the end of the day. In fact, full disclosure, we were going to try to cover both of these in last week's show, and clearly there was no way we had enough time. So we're going to spend the entire show today just talking about the end. Ben, there's just kind of some basic concepts here that are kind of similar to that morning routine. If you can win the start, you're off to the races. But there's also something really, really important about that end too. In fact, you could argue it depends what you Google and what study you find. But that beginning and end are so important. If you can win the start and also win the end, and we're not talking like the last 6 hours of the day, like we're talking about like a fairly small chunk of your day. If you can win that, man, that literally sends you into hyperdrive even as you sleep. Just kind of get this conversation going. Where should we start with this one?
Well, let's start with kind of an admission of that I'm not perfect at this, Jared. And I think, talking through it is helping me too to remember, okay, this is important stuff to have at the end of your day. So I'm not always perfect at this. In fact, many times I'm like sitting there watching TV and I was like, oh man, now I don't have my window that I want to close my day with.
Too tired.
Yeah, because I forget to do that. But I think if people can just concentrate on getting a little better on these areas,
sure.
I think their lives will get better.
Yeah. Let's talk about kind of these last several hours of the day. There's kind of a 3-2-1 schedule that you can follow. Like, let's start with kind of the 3-hour window before bed. What's some advice that we would give people?
Well, and I've read this numerous places on the internet right now, and people are talking about this 3-2-1 rule, where 3 hours before bed, you have absolutely no more food or alcohol. Right? This is a tough one for me. Mm-hmm. I'm a snacker, man. I love to go and find the snacks and kind of keep that going. But I think, I know that it's probably not in my best interest for my health mm-hmm. to snack on food before evening.
Sure, sure. I think even having an evening glass of wine, we're not here to, we're not your dad to tell you you can't do those things. But I think there is something to be said about, some of these things. I think that, we're all adults here and we know kind of where the line is. But, I don't feel good going to bed with a full stomach. I just don't, I typically don't, I just don't sleep as well. I love to snack, but I've tried to be a little bit more diligent on I have my final meal at 6 or 7 and shut it off. And, my kids are having a bowl of cereal at 9 p.m. and I'm like, oh man, that looks good. But I know how I'm going to feel. The truth is that I'm just not going to sleep better. Part of living a healthy retirement, we're not, we're not doctors here, but it's getting a good night's sleep. And so if you're eating right before bed or perhaps consuming alcohol right before bed, it's probably not in your best interest.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the next thing is, 2 hours before bed, Jared, right? 2 hours before bed, this is an interesting one, I always think, but no more work. Mm. And I think if you're a retiree listening to this and you're like, well, yeah, I can get along with this, a lot easier than the first one. 3 hours, yeah, no food or alcohol, but 2 hours, no more work. Well, I'm not working anymore either.
Sure.
And I think the point that we're trying to make is let your body shut down, let your mind shut down, whatever that looks like for you. I think it's important that, throughout your day, you're getting pieces of meaningful work, even and maybe especially in retirement. But when it comes close to when you're actually supposed to be turning it off and going to bed, right? Take that time,
sure.
and do not be doing administrative tasks and like the things that you forgot to do for the
emails.
Day, emails, right. Going on your computer, making sure all that's done. Make sure that you're just not working, because I think there's something to this. Hey, I've earned a little rest. I work today. Yeah. Shut it off and use that rest time before bed.
I think there's even, you know, projects, house projects could fall into that category. You know, Ben, we've done this where it's like, you know, the kids are in bed, and so I'm going to like burn the midnight oil and try to bang out this project till 10, 11 o'clock at night and then go to bed. It's awful. Like you miss your window and your mind isn't in wind down, sleep down mode at that point.
Yeah, I've had it where I was writing. You know, I'm writing for, you know, the business or work or the book back, you know, a few years back. And I was like, I'm just, everybody's out, it's quiet, I'm going to quick try to write some more. And my mind all night was spinning, and I wake up the next morning spinning again.
Yeah.
So again, I think it's really important that we do shut it down and we take some time to just rest.
My wife knows this about me. If we need to talk as a family and make some decisions about a trip or about our children or something like that, after 8 o'clock, daddy is done. Like, I kind of by default, I'm just not a great worker deeper into the night, because I'm just kind of creatively, I'm kind of done making decisions for the day. But I think, again, retirees aren't working at night, making decisions, again, administrative work, trying to get back to friends on emails and make plans, probably not the best time to do it. Then we talk about that final hour. This is a big one, and it kind of goes back to the beginning of the day too, right?
Yeah, well, this is a tough one, I think, to just have no more screen time within an hour of bed. I am guilty of doing this from time to time where I'm caught up with a show or something. I'm trying to check emails or whatever it is, and all of a sudden I'm like, I'm on my phone or I'm watching television before bed, and that will completely set the tone for your evening. I've seen people, Jared, that and talked to people that are so wound up about whatever it is on Fox News or CNN, either one of those, and they watch it before bed. And I'm like, that stuck with you all night. And the same thing in the morning. You start your day with that, and guess what? It's going to stick with you all day.
I heard a comedian, he was actually joking about his dad, who was just like, this is what he does every night. And this is a comedy show. This isn't like, I'm not making light of this, but he's like, my dad's a Fox News guy, and his evening routine is watch Fox News until he literally can't watch it anymore because he's so mad he has to just shut it off and rage off the bed. And I'm like, and it's funny because it's true, you know, and there's probably somebody listening who does that as well. I just can't encourage you enough. Shut the TV off. Shut your phone off. Jim Rohn, are you familiar with Jim Rohn?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So Jim Rohn is like, he's like the original like personal development guy. Like he predates Tony Robbins, you know. And I was just listening to something with him recently. And again, this advice he gave probably 40 years ago. But he was like, if you want to be successful, spend 30 to 60 minutes reading a book every day in your field of expertise. If you do that, your chances of growing and even growing your income, which by the way, can happen in retirement, goes up significantly. Why not spend a half of 30 minutes just reading, you know? So again, a great wind down, every night, is certainly reading. You don't have to do that, but reading can certainly fill in, that particular, you know, last hour of the day.
Yeah. Or listen to something, right? But just again, be off of a screen and, don't listen to something that's going to get you worked up, right? Don't listen to something or watch something that's going to certainly get you worked up, because that'll affect how you sleep that night and then how you wake up the next morning.
We've got, several minutes left here. We want to give you another three steps on how to do this. So how do you end your day? What does it actually look like? We told you what not to do the last 3 hours of the day. So what should you do? What's step number one, Ben?
Well, I think you spend some time celebrating what you did that day, right? And whether that be actually officially journaling something, or just mentally going through the exercise of each day, I'm looking back to say, what was a win? You know, every morning in our team meeting here at our office, we start the day with a win from yesterday. We haven't started this yet. Maybe we should end each day with what was a win from the day.
Right.
Because I think it's so important that people realize, whether it be big or small, I got something accomplished today. Right? It sets you up for, you know, both this feeling of gratitude of what God's given you and what he was allowed you to accomplish, but also I think does something to you as you sleep that night, thinking, what's my win going to be tomorrow?
Yeah. So that brings us nicely into point number two, which is kind of start planning ahead, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, look at your past day, right? Cross off a few things in your to-do list, right? Say, I got that accomplished, this accomplished. But then think about your top priority for tomorrow. Now, we're not talking like an in-depth, like, at this time to do this, and I'm going to do this. I mean, you can go that granular if you want, but I'm just thinking big picture. Like, here's a couple of things that I'd like to take care of tomorrow. This is something that I am very good at over my life, is making sure I've got a great to-do list in the morning. Mm-hmm. And if it can start the night before, it almost tees you up. So you're thinking through in your mind, and you're ready to go to start accomplishing something the next day.
Well, I think a lot of people, I'm just speaking for retirees, they're like, now hold on here. The reason why I retired is so I don't have to do that. What would you say to that?
Well, I'd say you didn't hopefully retire so that you could do nothing and sit around all day. Mm-hmm. If that was your goal, I can almost assure you, you'll be unfulfilled in life, right? There's nowhere where, whether it be in the Bible or just, you hear people that talk about retirement, they're saying, yep, just do nothing all day mm-hmm. for the rest of your life and you'll be fulfilled.
Right.
That is not good advice. So mm-hmm. you need some area in your life to look forward to. You need to accomplish things. You need meaningful work in order to be mm-hmm. productive in order to at least feel good sure. about yourself in order to rest at the next night. Yeah. So there should be some level of, I'm going to accomplish these three things tomorrow. I'm going to try to make a difference in this person's life tomorrow. I'm going to add value to society tomorrow. Here's how I'm going to do it. Now, can it be part of your day of the enjoyment of fun and relaxation sure. and interject some of that in there? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But there needs to be some kind of guardrails around your life. So yeah. you're saying, I am accomplishing something
yeah.
in tomorrow's day.
Yeah. And I don't think we're suggesting, again, you have to go and move mountains every single day. I think that there's probably a show, Ben, talking about the art of the small win. And I've tried to explain this to my kids, because we do weekly goals. And I said, you know, all you got to do is just win tomorrow. Like, what's on the agenda for tomorrow? If we can do these three things tomorrow, we won. That's all you got to do. You know, so I think people just in general, retired or not, we get overwhelmed by, you know, trying to set a goal and accomplish these things. But all you got to do is just kind of win the little things tomorrow, and they all add up. So we're looking at celebrating and then planning ahead. What's the last step?
Well, praying. You know, Jared, I'm a believer myself, and I know that when I end my day by thanking God for what He gave me that day, but also praying for others, right? It moves the focus so far off of me and onto what, you know, how I look at the world, right? It opens me up from just being this self-centered spot, and I can fall into that, and I know retirees can too. It's so easy to be self-focused in retirement. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it doesn't hurt anybody's feelings, but the truth is our society tells you retirement's all about you, your time, your life, your vacation, right? And I don't think people are fulfilled that way. Mm-hmm. In fact, I know they're not. And so many times in my own life, I find out when I'm focused on me, and I forget about the others around me, the community around me, the right. world, I end up falling in a spot that's not very healthy. So I would end each day with prayer. That's, yes, some gratitude, but also lifting up others yep. around me.
So let's just kind of do a quick little recap here. If you're doing the morning routine, you know, what we recommend, you're not starting the day with screens. You're starting with gratitude. Guess what? Evening, we're not ending the day with screens. We're doing stuff positive. We're planning for the next day, and we're having gratitude and being thankful. You know, I mean, it's not rocket science, you know, I mean, like, obviously there's stuff on the internet. You can look this stuff up, but like, it's not rocket science. If you start your day in the same way that you end your day, you're going to have better days. It may not be just tomorrow, but like over time, you're going to start developing some really, really healthy habits. This is a great daily cycle to get into.
Yeah, it is. And what's carries from the entire day, from the morning to the evening, is being others centered, Jared. I think, you know, lifting up others towards the end of your day in your prayer time. I talked about this the other day when I saw my wife's prayer journal and my name was on there, and specifically the things she was praying for me, it made a huge difference for me. I'm like, I know that if I ask her, what does that do for you? Well, right. it turns her day. The focus becomes serving others. So if we can start our day there, end our day there, I think people are going to just find that they're just happier. They just live better lives. They're more content, right? And that doesn't mean we can't enjoy retirement. I would say it's the only way to enjoy retirement.
We've got about a minute left. We've talked about, again, the morning routine in depth last week. Again, go back and listen to that show. We've talked in depth about how to end your day. Ben, let's spend the last 45 seconds of this show and talk about what's coming up next week.
Well, I think we kind of skipped the middle part of the day, right, Jared? I mean, it's like, well, we start at the beginning and the end, but there are so many things that work did for you, right? That 8 hours that most retirees have taken for granted over the years. There's so many things. There's a cause greater than self. There's the guardrails of going to work and coming back and what you're eating. There's movement. There's so many things. And we want to make sure that people don't forget about the positive aspects of work from really your daily habits, right? And that's what we're going to be focusing on.
Securities offered through Avantax Investment Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Avantax Advisory Services. Insurance services offered through an Avantax-affiliated insurance agency.
Hi, everyone. This is Meredith from the Senior Fitness with Meredith podcast, where I discuss all things for seniors. From fitness, your health and wellness journeys, how to be all over strong and beyond. I also have my mini podcast called Motivation with Meredith. It's a great, quick, motivational pick-me-up for your days. Join me, listen now, search for Senior Fitness with Meredith on your favorite podcast platform.